I said, you know, we're not going to move across here unless we do it first class. We're not going to move across here and sit in the gym. You know, we're going to do this thing first class. You see, the circle, God opens doors. God opens doors. See, that's why. That's why, you know, I'm not even worried about this sanctuary. You know what? God will fund his vision. God takes care of what if God tells you to buy the moon, go ahead and sign the deed, because he's going to make the payment.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today as we continue our series titled, What We Have is a Failure to Communicate, with the conclusion of Part 8, God is Speaking. Are you listening? So let's rejoin Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of God is Speaking. Are you listening?
Some people want to force through it. God has shut the door. God has closed the door, and you're trying to kick it open. You're trying to get a one of them ramming boards and bust the door down. And God is saying, look, you know, the circumstances are not allowing you to do this. The circumstances have shut down. And so, you know, God speaks through our circumstances. He speaks through opportunities. You have the opportunity to do something. God speaks through our failures. That if we failed at something, you know, maybe it was God's way of telling us that that's something that we don't need to do. But, you know, we need to look back and we need to make sure that that was God, and that's how God is working. God speaks through our victories. Sometimes God allows us to have a victory so that we'll know that this is what I'm supposed to do. God speaks through our defeats, and God speaks through our tragedies, our misfortunes. You know, God uses all these things to speak to us and have opportunities to speak to us. Going back to this move, I'm over here, and I'm saying, okay, God, you know, what's going on? You know, how are you guiding me? Then I just began to meditate and look at some things and just the circumstances. As we contemplate this move across the street, the circumstances over here, that it's going to cost over $200,000 to fix up everything we need in here. That's about a quarter of a way onto building a new sanctuary across the street. Water damage in the ceiling downstairs. Mold in the stalls. Toilet seats broken. Radiator above the mirror leaks. This is in the ladies' room. Mold on the wall above the mirror. The lower level. Carpeting needs to be replaced. Wiring, emergency lighting, and ceiling panels need to be replaced. The men's room, the floor needs to be redone and finished. It needs to be painted and plastered. I'm talking about the circumstances now. I'm talking about the circumstances. The stairwells, all you got to do is walk out there. Plaster has fallen off the walls. Ceiling tiles are damaged. Stained glass windows are sagging. In the balcony, plaster and paint. Water damage is destroying things. The pews under the plastic on the right side of the balcony, the nursery ceiling tiles need to be replaced. And I can go on and on. There's a whole litany of things here that need to be done, over $200,000 worth of work. Circumstances. I've been in prayer over the last couple months about this whole thing. And the Lord has confirmed it further in my heart through the circumstances. You know, one of the things that he has laid on my heart, man, when we move over there, everything is going to be redone. I'm working on some programs right now, and I'm going to make a presentation to the church at some point in time. But I'm working on programs that's going to revolutionize the way we do things. One of the things that I want to do, I mean, this is just a for instance right here. You know, one of the things that I want to do after church is dismiss the guests or the visitors early and go over to a little room and have, you know, maybe some cookies and punch there so that I can have an opportunity to spend time with the people who visit us. You know, one of the things that I've been reading, You know, we're talking about we need to grow and, you know, we need to move ahead and all. You know what? No guess, no growth. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. No guess, no growth. Most of you got here because somebody invited you. So one of the things that we're going to be working on is how do we invite people? And then once you invite them, how do Pastor Glaze get an opportunity to just spend a little time with them? Well, there's no place to do that over here. Absolutely no place to do that. So across the street, guess what? We're going to have a little room that we're going to dismiss our visitors early. I'm going to spend, there's going to be a little video playing about the ministries that we have during the week. And I'm just 2 to 3 minutes just to go in there and welcome them, thank them for coming, have a little packet that we give them about the church, pray with them. And then, you know, 2 or 3 minutes. I don't want a whole lot of time. But we can't, there's no place to do that over here. So what am I saying? God speaks through your circumstances. God speaks through our circumstances. Sometimes, you know, God is telling us to do something, and the way he's telling us to do it is to move us by the circumstances around us. And so, you know, as we move ahead, you know, there are just some things that are becoming more and more clear. You know, once again, I struggled with this thing for a while. I struggled with this move for a long time. But as time goes on, in my spirit, God begins to confirm it more and more. You know, one of the things that I struggle with, you know, overall, we needed about $62,000 to move across the street. And at first, the money was coming in. It wasn't coming in too quickly. I'm saying, God, is this what you want us to do? You know, I mean, God, you said that if we trust you, if this is what you want us to do, then you're going to provide. Then all of a sudden, God began to bless. God began to open up doors. And you know, it came from 62,000 to 20,000 down to the 18,000 to 15,000. And just last week before last, we got a donation for $15,000 to complete the move. I'm going to tell you what, where God guides, he supplies. Where he leads, he feeds. And where he directs, he protects. I'm going to tell you that. I'm going to tell you that thing. You know, I told Mark this, Deacon Corbin. I said, God will fund his vision. God will fund his vision. That's why, you know, as soon as we get over across the street, as soon as we get over there, you know what? The first thing, and I'm working on this now. The Lord just revealed this to me. I haven't had a chance, so this is going to be new for some people. But the first thing we're going to do when we move over, and we should be moving over there, what, May, sometimes June? Okay. By then, I'm telling you, we're going to have a picture of the new building. We're going to have a picture of the new sanctuary. As soon as we step through the door, on the day that we move over there, because you know what? That's a part of the vision. And God is saying, yeah, we're not going to be there that long. You know, 3 to 4 years, you know, we may be there, and then we're moving into the sanctuary. Now, once again, last year about this time, we didn't have money to move across the street. Somebody help me now. Somebody help me. We didn't have money to move across the street. Look where we are now. New chairs. Projection system with all the stuff up on the screen now. Platform area. A baffling that where the sound is going to be superb in there. I said, you know, we're not going to move across here unless we do it first class. We're not going to move across here and sit in the gym. You know, we're going to do this thing first class. You see, God opens doors. God opens doors. See, that's why, that's why, you know, I'm not even worried about this sanctuary. You know what? God will fund his vision. God takes care of what if God tells you, you know, if God tells you to buy the moon, go ahead and sign the deed because he's going to make the payments. You know, he's going to work this thing out. And I already know. Now, see, we can even go down here. Now, dreams. I'm going to tell you this. Now, look at dreams. A state in which God spoke to a person through an image, thought, or an idea while that individual was sleeping, all right? Now, you notice with all those things, I put a caution. Now, you know what? I don't put 100% stock in dreams. But I believe that God can speak through a dream. I'm going to put my stock in the Bible, the Holy Spirit, and circumstances. But I believe that if God wanted to get a message through a dream, that he could. And I just want to say this. Now, I'm not going to put a whole lot of stock in this now, so I want to let you know that. But I had a dream one night, and God showed me us sitting in a new sanctuary and worshiping him. And so it was like all that for me was a confirmation. Now, once again, I want to say this now, because, you know, you got to be careful with dreams. Because some folk have dreams because they ate too much pizza before they went to bed. All right? So you got to be careful. All right? And then the other thing, you know what? Now, the other thing about dreams, and I'm going to say this, is that, you know, I don't know about you, but I had some dreams that I'm sure I'm glad they didn't come true. You know, I had some dreams that I sure am glad they didn't come true. So that's my only caution with that, and that's why I say. But I did, you know, it was like, you know, that the Lord, you know, put this in my mind to say, here it goes right here. And we need to once again, and I keep repeating this because I do think that God can speak through dreams. But I don't think that that's the modus operandi. I think that there are other ways that are more sure, and that is the Bible and the Holy Spirit and circumstances. That's where my faith is going to be, all right? And you know, God does speak through other people, all right? He does speak through other people. He uses preachers and teachers and other people to speak to us. Now, the problem is that sometimes the people that are coming to you, you know, they are misled. They are misguided. Now, even this move, all right, let's go back to the move. I had, man, half the congregation was saying stay, and half was saying let's go. Then we voted. I think it was 70-some percent said move, and 20-some said, you know, stay. So now, that's people, right? So you got to be careful sometimes when you listen to people, because people can be misled. Now, look at Job. His friends came to do what? They came to comfort him. They thought they were coming to represent God. They thought they were coming to do what God wanted them to do. And what did Job end up telling them? He said, man, you guys are miserable comforters. And then in the end, what did God say? God said, look, man, you guys didn't know what in the world you were talking about. And he said, I'm going to let Job pray for you guys, because you didn't know what was happening. You didn't know night from day. All right? So that's the problem sometimes with other people. But I will say this, God does use other people to speak to you, all right? But if I'm going to put my stock in something, it's going to be the Word of God. That's going to be the main way that I see it, then the Holy Spirit, then circumstances, then other people. Now, let me just hit this real quick. I'm not going to spend a lot of time because I know there are some questions, and I have heard people dialogue about ways that God speaks. An audible voice. You know, God did speak in an audible voice. He spoke to Samuel that way, he spoke to Moses that way, and he spoke to Paul through an audible voice, all right? But let me just caution you here, all right? Let me just caution you that when you start hearing voices, all right, when you start hearing voices, let me just caution you that Satan did speak to Eve, all right? He did speak to Eve, all right? So you got to be careful, you know, where them voices are coming from, all right? Because I heard this voice say, okay, well, all right, you know, God did speak in voices, all right, but so does Satan. I just want to throw that out there, that caution, that Satan does speak in voices. Dreams, we already talked about that. I believe that God can speak through dreams, but once again, I put that caution out there that sometimes, you know, when you look at dreams, as a matter of fact, and we don't have time to read it this morning, but I would encourage you to go read Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. You know what that says? That says that false prophet. You know what? Let's look at that. Deuteronomy. I'm trying to get finished here, saints. I'm trying to get finished. Deuteronomy chapter 13. Deuteronomy. Now, this is this whole perspective on dreams. Deuteronomy chapter 13. verses 1 through 5. If there arise you among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spoke unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not yet known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God testeth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments. Look at, here we go again. And obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. So you can go on and read that. But what the point is that there were false prophets, and what were they doing? They were dreaming dreams. So that's that. You know, that's my caution there with dreams. Sometimes dreams, the false prophets had dreams, and God warned the people about that. Visions. Well, what about visions? A vision is a supernatural image or picture given by a revelation from God. Visions can come when a person is awake or sleeping. People have visions. Now, today, I think it's a little bit different today, because we ask pastors, well, what is your vision? Well, you know, that means that the pastor has seen a vision, that God has shown him. God has shown me a sanctuary. God has shown some pastors a ministry or this and that. Well, that's not necessarily a vision. You know, is in the Old Testament is where a person maybe went into a trance, or a person was asleep, and there was an image that came before them. And it was a visual image that came before them. And people say, well, I had a vision. Now, once again, I want to distinguish between the visions that we're talking about when somebody says, pastor, what's your vision? Opposed to somebody say, well, I had a vision. I had a picture of what it was that I felt we were supposed to do. So there's a difference between the two. And in the Old Testament, when they had visions, they saw something. They saw something. It was something that they saw, all right? Whereas a vision is just kind of, once again, an impression that God would place on the heart of the pastor, the leader, or whoever. But the thing about visions, I'll say this, is that in Jeremiah 23, God once again said, you got to watch out for the false prophets, because they spoke visions out of their own hearts. They spoke visions out of their own hearts. So that's the danger with vision. Moving on. The dead. Now, this is, I've heard a lot of people say this. You know, I had so-and-so come back from the dead and tell me something. All right? Now, I know I'm getting ready to get in trouble. In the Old Testament, God, and I went back to read it to make sure, but God did send Samuel back from the dead. All right? He did send Samuel back from the dead. So now we ask the question, does God use the dead to speak to us today? Well, I'm going to say this. God did use the dead on this occasion to speak. Now, this is the only record in the Bible where God permitted someone to go back from the dead and to speak. This is the only place, all right? Now, the second thing that I'll say is that the Bible says for the people, the rich man, when he died, he went to hell. And the Bible says in hell, he lifted up his eyes. And he said to Abraham, send somebody back to speak to my brothers so that they won't come to this place of torment and torture. And Abraham told him, look, they got Moses and the prophets. If they don't hear them, they're not going to hear somebody came back from the dead. All right? So, you know, you got to be careful when you say people are coming back from the dead. All right? Because it's a stretch. It's a stretch. Now, if anybody was going to come back from the dead, if God, now, let me ask this question. Does God want everybody saved? Amen. 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants folks saved. If this man wanted to go back to tell his brothers to get saved, it seemed like if God was going to let a dead person go back, it got quiet in here, but that's all right. That's all right. If God was going to let a dead person go back, that would have been the one he would have let go back right there, I would think, all right? So I'm just saying once again that in the Bible, God did use a dead person to go back and speak. All right. Now you say, what about people in heaven? Well, to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. And so people go on to glory. And I believe that when they get there, that they are so enraptured with Christ. They are so in love with God They are staring in the face of Jesus. And you know what? Lazarus, you know, when he came back, so he came back to life again. And I believe that when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, that Lazarus said, oh, man. Oh, I don't want to go back there. So I'm just giving that caution out because, I have heard, you know, people say that somebody from the dead came back and spoke to him, all right? I'm just throwing the word of caution out. All right? And then theophany. And what is a theophany? A theophany is appearance of God in some visual form, especially in the Old Testament. Now, I've heard preachers say, you know, God appeared with me on stage. Or, you know, I was sitting in my room and God came down in my room and sat down in a chair across from me and started talking. That's a theophany, all right? That's a theophany. And if you look at the Old Testament, God appeared in various ways. He was in a burning bush. He was a captain of the Lord's host. He was appeared in other forms. But as you read the New Testament, I don't see where God appeared to anybody. You know, even Paul. What did Paul say? It was a voice that he heard. So, you know, theophanies are not a New Testament or a church concept. Now, that was primarily in the Old Testament. And you look at, well, you say, what's the difference? Well, you know what? The folk in the Old Testament didn't have the Holy Ghost. The folk in the Old Testament didn't have the Bible. So that's why that was the nature of theophanies. That's why God had to come down and speak to them. Hebrews chapter 1 says, God, who in times past spoke in various manners and various ways through the prophets, hath in this last day spoke to us through his Son. So I just want to throw that out because people got all kinds of strange ways of hearing God. And I just want to say this. If you're going to bank your money, if you're going to bet your money, if you're going to bet your money, we're not gamblers. I'm not a gambler. But if you're going to play the spiritual lottery, I would put my money on the lucky dog. No, just kidding. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I put my money on the Bible, first and foremost. That's where I put the weight. The Holy Spirit, circumstances, and then other people. Those would be the ones I would focus on, all right? And then the other ones, God did speak through those ways, but I would look at those cautions and say that there are some cautions there. And my point is that if God wanted to use any other way, if he wanted to use visions, if he wanted to use audible voice, he can do it. We know he can do it, you know? So I'm not going to say he won't do it, and I'm not going to say he doesn't do it because I believe he can do it. And like I said, you know, I had a dream. And I believe that, you know, it was the Lord that gave me that dream. But you know what? I'm you know, if it didn't line up with what I already knew, or somebody help me now. Somebody help me. If it didn't line up with what I already knew from the Word, through the Spirit, through the circumstances, you know what? I wouldn't put a lot of stock in it. All right? So just let us know that, you know, we need to hear from God. And God is speaking. God is speaking.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were challenged by today's teaching. Join us next time for the first half of part 9, How to Listen to God. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, God is Speaking, Are You Listening? You can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request God is Speaking, Are You Listening? Or program number 060312. That's 877-831-5060 and request God is Speaking, Are You Listening? Or program number 060312. Today's teaching was part 8 of our 9-part series titled, What We Have is a Failure to Communicate. The entire series is made available by request. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15208. We here at Anchored in Jesus would like to invite you to come and be our guest this Sunday at Bethany Baptist Church. Service starts at 10:30. For directions or further details, not only pertaining to our Sunday morning worship service, but also the various other services at the Bethany Center each week, and training opportunities offered through the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, refer to bethanybaptist-pgh.org. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, is taken from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.